A Factual Data Creation Facility production.
All right. Welcome to the OFNT podcast, episode 236, which I'm calling Apple Intelligence Arrives? The iOS 18.1 public beta arrived last week, along with the corresponding iPad, Mac, Watch, and tvOS public betas. And yes, Siri finally glows and is improved. Well, somewhat. More on that in the Tech I'm Using section. I haven't had enough time to play around with the old gal or the other Apple Intelligence stuff yet to form much of an opinion on it. Anyway, it's all a nice distraction from the raging political garbage which constantly bombards me, no matter what I seem to be doing. Even while viewing comment sections from technology videos on YouTube, there's at least one idiot that just can't prevent themselves from making their political ideology known, which is usually based, if you catch my drift. Anyway, let's just start this thing. Before I start, I have a correction. Well, kind of. Last episode, I had stated that Google's implementation of the Rich Communication Services Protocol, better known as RCS, had already gotten end-to-end encryption. Well, it has, sort of. While single one-to-one conversations do have end-to-end encryption, you have to opt into it for group chats. As I predicted, this was another slow week for tech news as the industry awaits the end of the fallout from the giant fruit company's iPhone event, or not event. That all depends on the perspective of the glow time event, and I tend to go with the latter. Being that we're still within the grasp of that Apple event, a lot of the news itself will be from that particular company. From DigitalTimes.com, Apple just launched the iOS 18.1 public beta. Here's how it'll change your iPhone, unquote. Well, I've downloaded the 18.1 public beta, and I can answer that headline with just a couple of words. Not much. As I stated in the intro, I also downloaded macOS 15.1, iPadOS 18.1, tvOS 18.1, and watchOS 11.1. It's a lot of point ones. That not much description I just gave applies to all. Not that it's a bad thing, the updates are just not that apparent, and perhaps that's the correct way to implement AI after all. It just becomes apparent when called upon or needed. The article goes on to list what this first in a long line of AI updates brings. Writing tools, improved Siri, natural language search, cleanup tool, priority messages, email summaries, etc. Quite a bit in this update, really. Some tools will be useful to some, to others, well, not so much. Oh, there's no ChatGPT to be found anywhere within this update. I'll describe my experiences with some of these features in the Tech I'm Using section. Apple just stopped its iPadOS 18 update. Here's why, reads the headline from DigiTimes.com. This headline is sort of deceiving. Only the iPadOS 18 update for the M4 chip-based iPad Pro has been stopped from rolling out. It seems the update is bricking both the 11-inch and 13-inch based M4 models, a bricking of no return.
Oh no.
Owners of these now bricked iPads have no way of recovering the hardware. They can't even do so by booting into recovery mode.
What?
The good news is that Apple has acknowledged the problem and has committed to replacing these now useless iPads. Now who says that having the latest and so-called greatest model of hardware is the best situation to be in? You know, I'm doing just fine with my old M2-powered hardware. There are rumors that the pre-orders for the new top-of-the-line iPhone 16 Pro models have been very soft.
Uh-oh.
So Apple is sweetening the deal by giving up to $1,000 back on trade-ins.
Wow!
Hearing that news, I checked out how much my iPhone 15 Pro Max is worth to them and was quoted a paltry $565.
What the hell?
I have the base model, so I guess that cool grand is for those who've maxed out the RAM on their 15 Pro Maxes. Even if Apple would have offered me $1,000 for my particular 15 Pro, I wouldn't trade it in, and I suspect many feel the same way I do. All I would be gaining is a slight increase in screen size, a slightly better processor, and the camera button. I think my current screen is large enough, my phone is fast enough, They already have enough buttons to push on it. I never even use the recently added action button, unless I accidentally push it, which takes my phone off the silent mode, which I usually have it on. Then I use the action button to re-enable silent mode, and that sums up my interaction with that button. I'd also have to buy a new case for the 16 Pro. I guess those that have the iPhone 14 Pros or older might consider trading up in order to have Apple Intelligence functionality. But let's face it, no matter how hard tech companies push it, at this point, AI is not a good reason to upgrade a perfectly functioning phone. I still know people who use iPhone 11 Pros and will keep using them until they stop working. Heck, I know a guy who still uses his iPhone XS Max and is perfectly happy with it. Also, the poor person's plain iPhone 16 will run Apple Intelligence too, so why bother with the pros? Unless you're into photography or just have to be seen with the latest top-of-the-line model, the regular iPhone will suit you just fine. My lovely wife and I opted for the poor person's iPhone 13 and lived quite happily with them until upgrading to the 15 Pro Maxes we have now. The only thing I missed while using the regular iPhone was the more solid feel of the Pro models. An article from T3.com is reporting that the new base model iPad, which was rumored to be due in October, might not be coming until later. While Apple is planning on having an October event, we'll most likely be seeing the long-awaited upgraded iPad mini, which will cause a certain consumer segment to become very orgasmic.
Hello there.
Good on them. In order to run Apple Intelligence, the hardware has to be powered with at least an Apple Silicon M1 chip or an A17 Pro chip. So this new mini and future base model iPads will have either one of those or maybe even higher. My wife is inseparable from her base model iPad 10. She uses it for online shopping, video calls, and consuming content from the old country, and it performs those tasks well. And I must admit, I'm a bit jealous of the properly placed video camera that model has compared to my 2022 iPad Pro. I also think the screen on her base model iPad displays colors better than my iPad Pro. Of course, she isn't able to run any Apple Intelligence on it, but she doesn't care. The article goes on to state that what we will probably see being announced during this October event are M4 versions of the MacBook Pros, the Mac Mini, and maybe even the iPad Mini with the M4 MacBook Air coming out next spring. Well, I'll be holding on to my M2 Mac Mini, MacBook Air, and iPad Pro for the foreseeable future. Well, Huawei's $2,800 tri-fold phone had a disappointing launch. And this is according to an article from Reuters.com. It's not because of low demand for the Mate XT.
No.
It's because of low supply. Customers lined up on launch day to purchase this expensive monstrosity, only to be told that pre-orders would be filled on this day only, meaning there was no extra stock available for walk-in customers. Of course, this upset many who consider themselves to be, quote, Huawei superfans. Yeah, give me a break. The Mate XT surpassed 6.5 million pre-orders, more than doubling the amount of all foldable phones shipped worldwide in the second quarter of this year. One thing, though, pre-orders in China do not require a down payment, so consider that. This shortage was blamed on production yield issues of the phone's screen, panel, glass, and hinges. Hey, what's this thing running anyway? Harmony OS? I believe the Mate XT is only available in China at this time. As I've said before, if your cell phone is your main computing device, this is a great piece of hardware. But that price point will limit who will be able to purchase this thing. Also, how long will these complex phones last? Probably just a couple of years max. AndroidCentral.com thinks the dream of synced notifications on Android might finally be coming true. And that's their quote. I wasn't aware that Android was lacking synced notifications. Guess I've been confined to the Apple ecosystem too long. This added functionality was noticed while reviewing code from the recent Android 15 QPR beta, though it's still unclear if this will be rolled out to all Android devices or just Google Pixel devices. I'm of the opinion that Google will roll this out to all Android devices. That's because the big G appears to be attempting to iOS-ize Android lately, for better or worse. Syncing of notifications is a great feature to have, when it works. Even on Apple devices, syncing has its glitches. If I receive a notification on my iPhone and dismiss it, sometimes the notification will still show up on my iPad or computers, forcing me to have to dismiss it once again. Now, I always have to redismiss notifications on my Apple Watch. It never seems to sync with the rest of my Apple hardware. If this feature is important to you, I'd go with Google's Pixel lineup for phones and tablets and Chromebooks for my laptop. Hey, but that's just me. Perhaps Samsung has this syncing feature within their ecosystem also, so that's always an option. Although Samsung recently announced that it's adopting Google Messages as its standard, which might cause some syncing problems. The tech YouTube channel, The Friday Checkout, is reporting that sales of Qualcomm Snapdragon-based Windows laptops are not going well, which is surprising given the extravagant announcement and general excitement surrounding it. So what's the problem here?
I don't know.
While perusing the comment section and trying my best to ignore those comments displaying signs of TDS, the main reason seems to be price. The Qualcomm Snapdragon-based laptops currently available for purchase are of the premium variety, both in quality and expense. It seems Qualcomm hasn't yet rolled out the mid or lower range chips yet, or the manufacturers haven't gotten around to releasing hardware equipped with these lower end processors. Another common complaint is compatibility with apps because Qualcomm hasn't yet released software dev kits.
What?
In the Apple world, dev kits are usually available before the release of new hardware. A very vocal segment of the comment section laments that these new ARM-based chips aren't compatible with the Linux operating system.
What?
Wow.
And for adoption purposes, that's a big no-no. Well, at least amongst non-Apple enthusiasts. Finally, a small number of commenters say they are awaiting the new AMD and Intel chips before buying a new laptop. All in all, one could say that Windows on ARM and Qualcomm's rollout of it has been botched. For Microsoft and Windows, this would be the second botched rollout of Windows on ARM. Hopefully, this will all be sorted out in time for the holiday buying season, but most likely it won't. At least this gives Intel time to catch up. Oh, Qualcomm has just announced the layoff of 100 U.S.-based workers late last week. Coincidence? I think not. According to AFP.com, a 32-year-old Australian computer geek, that's the article's words, not mine, has been arrested on suspicion of building an encrypted messaging app used by hundreds of criminals worldwide to arrange drug deals and order killings. And this is according to the authorities. The app called Ghost was marketed to criminals as, quote, unhackable. And was used primarily by bad guys and gals from Europe, the Middle East, and Asia. But of course, government authorities hacked the network through updates sent out by the creator and have been monitoring the illicit activities of its users. The creator and mastermind of this Ghost network, one J.G. Yoon Young, was arrested in Australia in front of his surprised parents, who he still resided with, most likely in their basement.
Yes.
The Ghost app was created 9 years ago and can only be accessed via modified smartphones that Mr. Young sold for $1,600 a pop, along with a monthly subscription. Geez, not even criminals are immune to the dreaded monthly subscription scam.
No.
To his credit, Mr. Young regularly pushed out updates, which were eventually hacked back in 2022 by the authorities, which used them to crack the app's encryption. I'd say that Mr. Young has a future in assisting law enforcement after his legal woes have subsided a bit.
Yes?
The lesson to be learned here is that no messaging app, be it iMessages, Telegram, Signal, or any of them, isn't compromised. On the bright side, at least Mr. Young's parents are relieved that their son has finally moved out of their house. Check I'm using. As I've alluded to previously, I tried out some of the new Apple Intelligence features by downloading those public betas. Normal, non-beta using consumers should get to do so come October, and I think most will be underwhelmed. In order to try out these AI enhancements, once you've downloaded the public betas, you have to go into Settings, then to Apple Intelligence and Siri, in order to sign up for the waiting list.
What?
Discouraged, at first I thought it would take days, if not weeks, for my turn to come on this list, but in just hours I was notified that I could start using Apple Intelligence on my devices. The last one to be enabled was my iPad Pro, about a day after my Macs and iPhone for some reason. The Siri upgrade is the most noticeable part of this update and was the thing I interacted with the most. And yes, it's true, the frame surrounding the iPhone and iPad screen does indeed light up with various bright colors when you summon the digital assistant, who's more responsive and, dare I say, smarter than ever before. On the Macs, Siri appears in the upper right corner in a discreet red box. I can say that Apple's trailblazing but much maligned personal digital assistant is now on par with Amazon's and, well, even Google's pre-AI version of one.
Yay!
This is all good, but so far I haven't gotten Siri to work with CarPlay in my automobile. The feature I was most interested in was the writing tools. And for me, this is the most difficult feature to access, at least on the iPhone. To use writing tools, which can proofread, rewrite, summarize, along with other things, any text you select on any app, there's text in on your device. To accomplish this, you have to highlight the text and right-click, which will bring up a menu of functions. Now, this works well on the iPad and my mouse-equipped Mac Mini, but not so much on the iPhone or my non-mouse-equipped MacBook Air. The MacBook Air mouse is unfortunately tucked away in a desk drawer down in Tennessee at the moment, and while I can highlight text with ease using the trackpad, when I right-click using it, the menu will pop up while simultaneously unhighlighting the text. And that's giving writing tools nothing to work its AI magic on. I'm sure this can be blamed on the fact that my declining old fart mind hasn't been able to grasp how to do this yet. I'm sure I'll eventually figure it all out, but the same can't be said for highlighting text or right-clicking on my iPhone. That's no matter how many websites I visit for instruction. And it's not like I'd be using the iPhone for any serious writing or editing. I haven't bothered enough with the results of the many functions of writing tools yet, but I'll let you know my impressions when I find the time to do so. The one thing of Apple Intelligence that I did find surprisingly useful is the email summary feature. While looking at a particular email, you can summarize the message by clicking on the Summarize tab, which is located on the top of the screen to the right. By doing that, a useful summary of email is displayed. Now, I'm sure many business types will really appreciate this feature. Other than that, time hasn't allowed me to experiment with all the features of Apple Intelligence. Have you gotten to try any of these features out yet? Oh, and another thing, besides releasing iOS 18, Apple also released a nice update for their core productivity apps like Pages, the one I use the most. I'll let you know about any new features when I stumble upon them.
Okay.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. By honoring your sacred vocation of nursing, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. At Grand Canyon University, our online RN to BSN, MSN, or DNP degree programs allow you to balance online coursework with local in-person clinical, practicum, or immersion hours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Entertainment news. One of the few things I have this week is from an article on 9to5mac.com, which tells of victim billionaire Oprah Winfrey buying her biographical documentary back from Apple, who will block it going forward. You might recall a giddy Tim Cook brought Oprah up on stage when he announced a partnership with the Ozempic-addled Ms. Winfrey and her Harpo production studio. Not much came of this partnership, which is known mostly for producing an interview with Prince Harry and his Fox princess bride, Meghan Markle, in which they made several serious accusations against the British royal family. Other than that, I couldn't tell what else was produced from this partnership, which happened to lapse in 2022. Apple must have taken a financial loss on that contract. Supposedly, Oprah didn't like the edit of the biodoc, probably because it attempted to be factual and not the fairy tale the former queen of daytime talk television expected it to be. Ms. Winfrey's stock has fallen lately after refusing to help in any reasonable manner victims of a fire which destroyed a community in an area of Hawaii where she bought up a lot of property and is rumored to have bought more at bargain prices since that disaster. Now add in the recent interview with presidential candidate Kamala Harris, whom she allowed to babble constant word salad in response to softball questions, and one could say that not many people care or will listen to what the once powerful Oprah Winfrey has to say any longer.
Yes.
If I were her, I'd cash out my holdings and just go retire and enjoy my life. Good old Disney has released the first two episodes of the latest Marvel Universal show called Agatha All Along. I haven't seen any reviews of the show yet, but I'm sure they're inbound. Though Agatha All Along was planned as a multi-season television show, Disney is now calling it a miniseries. I don't know if the House of Mouse feels the show is not good enough to continue, or that the audience it's aimed at is too minuscule to support more than one season. You know, I don't believe that a show about lesbian witches is a big draw outside of the porn industry these days. But then again, no one actually pays me to think.
No.
These days, Disney's writers just have to insert their political agendas within a show's storylines, even if that show starts off great and builds a sizable audience sans the agenda thing. And as the series goes on, it's as if some sort of political commissar course corrects the production to include these agendas. Yeah, I'm looking at you, Mandalorian. I'm just waiting for the day that Disney realizes the error of its ways, or sells off the IPRs that it has ruined over the years. And that's a day that probably will never arrive within my lifetime. A YouTube channel that I enjoy is Moonic Productions, M-O-O-N-I-C. The host of the channel takes popular songs written by country and pop artists and turns them into heavy metal songs. The ones I enjoy the most are the If Black Sabbath Wrote series. Listen to Rick Astley's Never Gonna Give You Up and Dolly Parton's Jolene performed in the style of Black Sabbath, with an honorable mention for Sleep's song Dope Smoker, done in that style also. The conclusion I've made by listening to these songs is that every song would sound better if Black Sabbath had written and performed them. Hey, but I'm a bit biased here. Podcast news. Nothing shaking as far as Podcasting Incorporated goes, so I'll discuss a couple of listening apps I've been trying out lately.
No!
Oh, don't worry. I'm not going to lecture you about the benefits of the new Podcasting 2.0 apps again. I've already beaten that horse to death. That statement doesn't conjure up a nice mental picture now, does it?
No.
Anyway, the two listening apps I'm going to talk about don't even feature a single Podcasting 2.0 feature. The first app is one I attempted to use months ago called Castro. Now, Castro has been around for a long time now, but has been recently acquired by a different company. When I first became aware of Castro's change of ownership, I downloaded the app and was immediately confused by its archaic user interface. Castro kept prompting me to import podcasts from other podcast apps, and when I searched for podcasts I currently listen to, it would return negative results. It was as if Castro couldn't access any podcast index and depended on the user importing shows' RSS feeds from other listening apps. I quickly deleted Castro from my phone and forgot about it. Well, after hearing an interview with the new owner of Castro on the Pod News Weekly podcast, I decided to give the app another look. What I found was a beautiful and intuitive user interface and was able to search and subscribe to shows within the app with no need to import anything into it. Unfortunately, to unlock all the features of Castro, you'll have to pony up a subscription price of $3.99 per month or $24.99 per year. Yeah, that's pretty stiff in my opinion. A yearly subscription for Pocket Cast is only $14.99 per year, and Pocket Cast is, well, right now, a superior app. For comparison's sakes, I pay but $10 for a yearly subscription to Castomatic, which looks as nice as Castro, has all the features of it, and also includes Podcasting 2.0 compliance. Speaking of Castomatic, the one thing that the app doesn't get right is CarPlay, which leads me to the second app I'm going to talk about, and that's Amazon's Music app. Now, I already knew that you can listen to podcasts using Amazon's Music app, which I get gratis thanks to my Amazon Prime membership. But I found the app sort of a minimalist version of a podcast listening app. Well, it appears Amazon has been busy updating the podcast part of the Music app, but I haven't been paying much attention to it. Well, that's until I heard an ad from Amazon Music, which said that the podcast I was listening to at the moment was ad-free on Amazon Music. I happen to be listening to the Magnus Protocol, which can be chock full of ads, so I gave the Amazon Music app a try. As promised, all episodes of the Magnus Protocol are indeed ad-free. I discovered another show I listened to, Haunted, an audio drama, is also ad-free. The Magnus Protocol is from the Rusty Quill Podcast Network, and many of the network shows are also ad-free on Amazon Music, but not all of them. Another podcast I recently discovered, thanks to the Apollo Listening app, is Malevolent, which is also ad-free on the Amazon Listening app. Malevolent has a unique character situation which takes a couple of episodes to get comfortable with, but once you do, you realize that it's a top-notch horror-type show. Overall, the Amazon Music app for listening to podcasts is still mostly a minimalist experience, but one thing it does get right is compatibility with CarPlay. It works as smooth as silk in the car, dutifully playing one unlistened episode of a podcast after another before switching to the next podcast you've added via the preset function. This, more than the ad-free shows, is the reason I'll be using the Amazon Music app for listening to podcasts while I drive, especially those long drives down to Tennessee. The music is playing on this cool first evening of autumn, which means besides running out of things to talk about, this episode of the OFNT podcast is running out of time. Hope you enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed making it for you. If you like what you heard, you can make a donation using the link in the show notes. Any and all donations will be greatly appreciated. And you know, you can always reach me at ofntpodcast@gmail.com, and that's if you're so inclined. I'd enjoy hearing from you. I really would. Now remember, don't listen to what they say. Watch what they do. Summer is officially over and cooler weather is prevailing, so put your jackets on and get off my lawn. Stay skeptical. I'm out.
See ya.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.